Number 4. Deuteronomy chapter number 4. The second generation is being commanded to go into the land. And they are being rehearsed. Their things are being rehearsed to them, what it's going to take for them to be successful for them once they are in the land. And as we began looking at the book of Deuteronomy last week, the context, of course, is the fact that the first generation had a chance to go into the land. But the first generation failed to have faith. They failed to seize the opportunity. And because of it, they lost the opportunity. And the rest of their life, they spent spinning their wheels. And as we mentioned last week, the sad case is that that is the case of many Christians as well. They have an opportunity early in their Christian life to go forward, to do something for God. And for whatever reason it is, they don't go forward by faith. They don't have the courage to trust God. They don't have the fortitude. They don't have the faith to immediately respond to God to do what they need to do. Isn't it amazing? I think, Stephen, you could probably look back at your life. You're about ready to go to the mission field. You can look back at your life and big decisions that you had to make at a moment's notice. And that's why you are today, here today, almost ready to go to Kenya, because you were willing to make big decisions when they needed to be made. Now the second generation is faced with that same situation, but now they're given instructions, very specific instructions about now getting into the land and being successful. And we see a number of truths here that I think are very, very important, and they apply to us. There's some keys here to being successful in our Christian life that are parallel with the keys to Israel being successful in their relationship with God and taking the land. Now, we want to point out a couple things here. If you look at verse 9, there's some key words that we need to think about. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life. But teach them unto thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. And they came near and stood under the mountain. This is Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, where the Ten Commandments were given. And the Bible says, and the mountain burned with fire out of the midst of heaven. Can you imagine that? Fire out of this rock. This whole mountain was on fire. That's what gives me, one reason gives me to believe that the real Mount Sinai is not in Sinai Peninsula, but is in Saudi Arabia. Because the mountain in Saudi Arabia that is called Mount Horeb, that is probably the real Mount Sinai, is black on top. And you'll see no sign of fire on Mount Sinai that's in the Sinai Peninsula. But the Bible tells us there was this huge fire on top of the mountain. You know, it's pretty hard to burn rock, isn't it? And the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but you saw no similitude. Only ye heard the voice. And so we find that the Lord is telling the people of Israel, you're going to have a problem. You're going to have a problem. You're going to have a problem with forgetting. You're going to have a problem with forgetting. Now, we had revival meetings last week ago, and many people made decisions. I wonder how many of them you forgot already. You know, time goes on. It's amazing the mind. The hardest thing for the mind to remember are important spiritual truths. That's the hardest thing for the human mind to remember. Important spiritual truth. You know, you can remember all sorts of other things as though it were yesterday. But important spiritual truth that is the backbone of the Christian life or your spiritual life, that's so easy to forget. And he's telling them, and when you get into the land, this is going to be a problem. You're going to forget. You're going to forget. And he says, there's something that I don't want you to forget. And so God did something very physical. It's recorded in Exodus chapter 20. Just so you know that where it is. It's actually Deuteronomy 4 gives us a little bit of insight into it, but Exodus chapter 20, let's go back there a minute. It says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 15, and he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And so here's this physical appearance of God. He made himself appear in a physical manner. There is this quaking of this mountain. I mean, it's not like a little hill. I mean, you talk about a mountain. And there's fire, and there's smoke, and there's thunder. You know, we have a little bit of somebody lights off a firecracker, and our dogs come in the house. You know, they want to hide underneath the table. Firecracker. Well, can you imagine this phenomenon? The fire was coming down from heaven. Thunder, lightning, smoke. And the sound of a trumpet that just got louder and louder and louder. And the Bible tells us that out of the midst of that fire, there was a literal audible voice. It was the voice of God. God was speaking to the people of Israel. It was meant to reveal to the people how big God was. It was meant to reveal to the people that God was holy, that God was powerful, that God was far above man, that He was the creator of the universe. I mean, it was just meant to impress upon them his person, His power, everything about Him. You know, think about it. You know, you see a scary person. I remember when I was a little boy. Up one block from our house, there was this house that was abandoned. And I guess a bank bought it, and they were going to tear the house down. And there was the Schnabel's house. I remember that. And you know, so little kids are kind of nosy, you know. And I was kind of walking up there by that house, you know, and on the sidewalk. And this guy, I mean, this scary guy comes around. And, you know, even though it was just one block from my house, I still can remember the look on the face of this scary guy. Man, I hightailed it out of there like I bet you I could have won a race on that day. But you know, I can still remember that guy's face, you know? Well, here, this was meant to make an everlasting impression on the people of God. This is how great God was. And so, on that mountain, what happened? He gave them the Ten Commandments. God was establishing His covenant with the people. And their duty was to go into the land. And what were they supposed to do? Verse 1. Now therefore, brethren, O Israel, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Now, it was a very simple truth. God, who gave the Bible, revealed Himself to the people in His power, and then He gave the Word of God to Moses. And Moses wrote and recorded what God told him. And the people of Israel were to obey what God said. If they would obey what God said, what does it say would happen? The Bible says, very simply, it says, verse 5, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should go do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law? You know, you read that kind of thing, it reminds you of America. You know that? Constitution of our country was based on the principles of the Bible. Ask people today, what made America great? It was based on, because it was based on biblical principles of right and wrong. It says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Now, what does it happen if they will obey these things? Look at verse number 40. Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes, his commandments, which I command thee this day, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days upon the earth. Now it's a simple truth. Very unpopular truth. A very truth that goes against man's nature. You know what it is? Obey the word of God. Obey the word of God. That's pretty simple, isn't it? What's the challenge, young person? What's the challenge for all of us? The challenge is we don't like to obey. We have a better idea. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We have a better idea. You know, if you would go to the average Christian, what is the most unpopular word? Obey. Isn't that right? Obey the Bible. If you go to the youth of America, what's the most unpopular word? Obey. God says the most important word, the most important truth for the people of God, obey. Obey. The most important truth, obey. And so he gives them a pictorial reason to obey. He shows himself on the mountain. He shows himself as unbelievably real, living, powerful God. And this God who speaks, well, that's right. Our God is a God who speaks. In the beginning, the Bible says, God said, let there be light. And what happened? There is light. In John chapter 1, Jesus is introduced as God the Son from eternity past. And you know what his name is? In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And what did the Word say? He said to the Jews, he says, in the last day, I will not judge you. The words that I speak unto you, they shall judge you. Obey. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. What's the most unpopular word today? Obey. What's the most, one of the most important words in the Bible? Obey. Now he says, I'm going to do something. I did something so that you would obey. And as the people saw God and they heard the thunder and the trumpet and all of that, the Bible says they quaked. You know? And they said to Moses, tell God, whatever he says, we'll do it. We'll do it. But did they do it? You know why they didn't do it? Because they forgot who God was. They forgot who God was. They forgot. That's our problem. We forget who God is. We forget who God is. Now, how can you, what is it, how do you remember who God is? How do you remember who God is? This is not a fail-proof answer, but the people of Israel, what did he say? I want you to keep reminding and rehearsing to your children what took place on Mount Sinai. I want you to rehearse to your children what it was like to be there. I want you to rehearse to them the unbelievable setting and the sense of how little man was and how great God was. I want you to rehearse that to them. Don't ever forget that. Keep rehearsing that. Keep rehearsing that. Now, I think there's an application here, a couple applications. Remember, it was the beginning of the covenant. And the Bible says there's a voice that spoke out of the fire, but they saw no similitude of God. Did you notice that? They didn't see any picture of God. They didn't see any form. They didn't see some kind of image. They didn't see a ghost-like picture. There's a reason for that. Because they were going to go into a land was full of idols. And people worshipped idols made out of wood, stone, covered with gold, Baal, a calf, Ashtoreth, another goddess. They wanted the people of Israel to know that God had no similitude. And one of the great commandments in the Bible, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of anything on the earth or anything in heaven and bow down to them and worship them. It's amazing how many even religions, Christian religions, violate that law. But God wanted them to know that He was the God who spoke. He was the God of the Bible. It was His voice that they heard with great authority. They said, oh, we'll obey His voice. Now, I think the second application is, what about the new covenant? What about the new covenant? Think of Jesus on the cross, dying for our sins. From noon to 3 o'clock, darkness was upon the face of the earth. In fact, you can read history accounts in Egypt, and they wonder, what happened? In the middle of the day, there was darkness over the whole earth. Why? Because God was placing our sin on Jesus Christ. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty of man's sin. Isn't it amazing? How important to keep that focus. You know, I was talking to a couple professors at the university. And one fellow says, well, you know, all religions, they're trying to do good. And I said, there's one problem. There's only Jesus died to pay the penalty of man's sin. Only Jesus Christ can save man from his sin. That's the focus. Now, where am I getting at with this? The focus is Jesus Christ on the cross. What happens to Christians? This is what happens to Christians. Christians, they start forgetting that Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. And they start thinking, oh, isn't it nice to be a Christian? Oh, I'm so glad I'm a Christian. I'm just going to have a happy, nice little life. I'm going to have a happy, nice little family. I'm just going to enjoy my life. And let the world go to hell. Isn't that what happens? Oh, I'm so glad I'm a Christian. But why did Jesus die? He died to save the world from their sin. And the Christian needs to get that and keep that in focus, that the purpose of our Christianity is not merely to have a nice little life. The purpose of our Christianity is to tell the world that Jesus died for them and they need to be saved. Otherwise, they will die and go to hell. We might be enjoying our wonderful life. But souls will go into hell perishing because we forgot the beginning of the new covenant, Jesus on the cross. There's so many sad illustrations. But there's a Chinese man. Of course, Hudson Taylor went to China in 1850s, 60s, 70s. And a Chinese man came to the Lord and was saved. And he went to Hudson Taylor and he said, Hudson Taylor, from where you came from, how long have the people in your country known about Jesus? And Hudson Taylor, with some shame on his face, said, our people, of course he came from Britain, have known about Jesus Christ for hundreds of years. And he says, you mean you people knew about Jesus for hundreds of years, and my grandparents and my great-grandparents and my parents have died without knowing about Jesus Christ, and they've died and they are definitely in hell today because no one told us. The people in your country didn't tell us. They didn't come. You see, we have a problem. We have a problem with forgetting. We have a problem of forgetting why Jesus died. We have a problem with forgetting what did Jesus tell us to do when he rose from the dead. What did he tell us to do? In fact, he told us, in every gospel, he told us what to do. In Matthew, he says, go and teach all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to all things whatsoever commanded you. Go therefore and disciple or teach all nations. Now what did he say in Mark? Mark 16:15. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What did he say in Luke? He said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached unto all nations beginning at Jerusalem. What did he say in John? Gospel John. He said, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. And then what did he say in the book of Acts? He said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and under the uttermost parts of the world. What did Jesus say we're supposed to do with this gospel? Now, I know this isn't new. This isn't new. But you see the parallel? The beginning of the Old Covenant, in order to successfully do what God wanted them to do, they had to obey the Word of God. And they would prosper. We have the New Covenant, and we have the specific major truth that's supposed to permeate the Christian life, and we're supposed to do it. But you know what the people of Israel did? They got into the land of Canaan. And guess what? You know what they found out? They found out that the wicked Canaanites were good farmers. The wicked Canaanites knew how to farm the land. The wicked Canaanites were successful at making money. And Israel, instead of wiping out the Canaanites with their wicked religion and their wicked immorality and bestiality and all its other wicked sins, they said, you know what? We can use their help. And eventually, they started worshiping the idols of the Canaanites. You know why? They took their focus off of what their purpose was. And what do we have today? We have today, in general, Christians have lost the focus of the purpose of their life. And as a result of that forgetfulness, God's plan is not being fulfilled. Let's look at a couple key words here in Deuteronomy 4, verse 9. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou should forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. Now, here is a great principle. Do you remember when you first got saved. Now, if you got saved, let me ask this question. Do you remember? Do you remember the God who worked in your life that brought you to trust Jesus as your Savior? Now, I think you've heard this illustration. I remember the greatest illustration of this is Mr. Wombolt. He was an elderly man. And at the beginning of our church, we ministered to this elderly man. He had never really understood the gospel, but he got saved. And I remember the day that he accepted Christ as his Savior. And we were meeting at the house at that time and accepted the Lord. And he met with Mr. Raines, and he came out of the room being saved. He said to me, Pastor, I just want you to know, I want to follow every rule there is. You know what? That if you got saved, that's how you were. When you got saved, you wanted to do everything that was right. Right? You wanted to obey God. Maybe you were 6 years old when you got saved. Maybe you're 10 years old. But man, you know what? You realize you were a sinner. You realize you were lost. You realize that you were proud. You realize you're going your own way. You realize you're going to hell. And you wanted Jesus to be your Savior. And you accepted Christ. And you know, at that moment in your life, you wanted to obey God. Now there's the issue of life. What is life all about? Life is all about keeping your heart. If you have allowed life to take away your love to obey Jesus Christ, you got a problem. Because that's the issue of life. You know, there are some people here probably could say, you know, I used to have a real heart to obey God, but I don't anymore. I used to sit right up here in church because I wanted to learn and I wanted to obey. I used to sit right there. I used to sit there. Our family used to sit right there. Because we were going to obey what God said. But the issue of life is, guess what? You lost your heart. God didn't take away your heart, did he? You lost your heart. You know, the Bible tells us, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Zach, would you ever want to lose your heart for serving God? Could you ever imagine? Wouldn't that be terrible? Yeah, that'd be a terrible thing. But you know what? The average Christian loses their heart. You know how you lose your heart? You lose your heart by sin. When we allow sin in our life, sin hardens our heart. We lose our heart like the people of Israel when we disobey God. We think we know better than God. We disobey Him. We lose our heart. When we get into the world, we want to please the world, want to be like the world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Oh, you know, when we start wanting to please the world and live like the world, look like the world, our heart's going to be taken away. You know, what is it? You know, people have all these excuses why their heart should be taken away. No, there's only one reason our heart is taken away, because we allowed it to. There's only one reason. We allowed it to. And here the whole picture here is go back. Go back. When you were at that point and you knew God so well, you were so impressed with God, you said, I'll do whatever he says. Go back to that day. Go back to that day. And that's what the people of Israel said. Now you go back. Go back to Sinai. You go back when you heard the thunder. You saw the lightning. You heard the voice of God. You were recognized how a fearful thing it is to be in the hands of a living God. And you who had the fear of the Lord in your soul, you lost it. You know, should we have lost our love for souls? Should we lose our love for souls? Should we lose our love to stay close to God? Should we lose? You know, I remember when I got saved, I said to myself, you know what? I don't know anybody that's saved in my high school class. I graduated from Waukesha High School. We had 675 students in our senior class. I said, I don't know personally any of them that are saved. Then I remembered, oh, I think those two girls might have been. But they never witnessed to me, so I didn't know. And I thought, man, somebody's got to tell them. Someone has to tell them. They don't know. They're just like me. They thought, believe in God, live a good life. Maybe you'll make it if your good works outweigh your bad. Someone's got to tell them. You know, isn't that the way it was when you got saved? I remember my friend Mike Mack. It was a Christmas Eve. I don't know how many years ago it was. He'd been coming to church. I could tell that he was getting ready to get saved. God was really working in his life. And that Sunday morning, his Christmas Eve Sunday morning, he accepted the Lord. He came to my office and we got the conversation going, accepted the Lord. And he said, today I'm going to the family Christmas party. And I knew exactly what he meant. I'm going to the family Christmas party and I'm going to tell all of them about how to be saved. And I'm sure that if I tell all of them how to be saved, they'll want to get saved immediately. I wasn't going to blow his bubble on that one. But you know what? Exactly. He got saved. He wanted everybody in the world to know how to be saved. I can't imagine a person getting saved and knowing the greatness of salvation and not immediately thinking, oh, I want to tell everybody I can. Isn't that normal? Isn't that normal? But you know how easy it is to forget. How easy it is to lose our heart. How easy it is to let things in life rob us of what God's plan is for our life. So we all have to deal with forgetfulness. I hope today that we've had a little bit of time to cause you to remember when you got saved. I hope that today, maybe, you have been reminded of what you thought when you first got saved. I thought maybe you today were reminded of your heart you once had for God, but you don't have today. And what you need to do is you need to go back. You need to go back and say, that's normal. That's right. That's where I should be. And get your heart back. Get your heart back. Get your heart back. Otherwise, there's one answer. Regret. Regret. He said, remember, keep rehearsing it, or you will regret. Because we all have a problem with forgetfulness. Keep remembering, keep rehearsing, lest we end up at the end regretting. Regret or rejoice? Regret or rejoice? Regret or rejoice? Your days will be prolonged. Every nation will say, oh, what a wise and understanding people. You know, it's an amazing thing. We all have to play doctor once in a while. You know, it's a problem. Sometimes people play doctor and they aren't too good a doctor. And you know, if you get sick, you know, everybody's got their special formula for you. You know? And, but you know, there is some area that we do need to play doctor in. And we need to play doctor with our soul. And we need to be honest with our spiritual condition. If we have lost our heart, we need to do some doctoring with our soul. We need to do some doctoring with our soul. Don't fall into the trap of the average Christian. As long as you have money in your pocket, as long as you're enjoying all sorts of pleasures of the world, everything's fine. It isn't fine if we've lost our purpose in life. It isn't fine if we lost our passion for souls. It isn't fine if what Jesus told us to do is not the dominant truth in our life. Let's pray. Lord, we're all in this battle together, Lord. I pray that you, Lord, would speak to our hearts. And I pray that, Lord, that you would help us to analyze what has happened to our soul. And Lord, if we've lost that passion for lost souls, if we've lost the passion for why Jesus came to this earth, Lord, help us not to excuse it. Help us not to think, oh, I used to be zealous, but now I'm mature. Help us to, Lord, realize those were some of the greatest moments in our life when we came to grips with the real issue. Where will we spend eternity? Where will other people spend eternity? Why did Jesus come? Why did he die? What are we doing about it? Lord, sometimes the things of the world become so important and have such a hold on our life that we can't imagine once again being passionate about talking to people about the Lord Jesus and giving ourselves to win souls. But Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would do a work in our lives, do a work in my life today. Lord, help us not to be able to go out in public without thinking about the fact that every person we meet has a soul. And that people all around us will spend eternity somewhere. Lord, help us to have an emptiness in our soul if the things of this world are the only things that satisfy us. Lord, help us to see how empty it is. And Lord, even today I pray that there would be a soul that cries out to you, that says, Lord, I want my heart back. I want to be what you want me to be. I want you to be back that place where I love the things of God. And I want to be a witness. And I want to see my life used to win souls to Christ. Lord, help that soul today to come to that place. And be decisive about it, Lord. And let you do a work in their life. With heads bowed and eyes closed. You're here today. And that's exactly where you are today. You say, you know what, I've lost my passion, my purpose. I've taken my focus off the cross, why he saved me, the need of the world. And today, I want to have my heart back. My heart for souls. My heart to serve God. And by an uplifted hand, you say, Pastor, pray for me. God has spoken to my heart today. Anyone here today? God has spoken my heart. I know what my heart used to be like, but it's not like that anymore. I've lost that. Pray for me. Amen. I see a number of different hands. How about you? Is your heart where it used to be? Your passion for souls. I've lost my heart for souls. I've lost my heart to share the gospel. Yeah, comfortable living is more important to me. Pastor, pray with me. God has spoken my heart. Anyone else? Okay. All right. How about you? Anyone else? Maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I cannot point to that time in my life that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. I cannot point to that point when I was born in the family of God and what a joy it was to be saved and to know God you're not there. You only hope maybe you're going to heaven, but you have not come to the place of real salvation that you can identify with what we're talking about, having the gift of eternal life. And you say, Pastor Roberts, if I died right now, I'm not even sure I'd go to heaven. I need to know that. Would you pray for me? Anyone here today? I'm not sure if I die, I'd go to heaven. But you need to know that. I'd be glad to pray for you and not embarrass you. But anyone here today, just lift up your hand wherever you might be. Okay, I see that precious hand. Lord, I thank you for your word. Use it, Lord, in our lives today. And Lord, even one soul that gets back to a place where winning souls is the most important thing in their heart. Lord, this service would have been worth it all. And so, Lord, may that be true. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.